Good day, friends, and welcome to the Spirit of Bible Study. My name is Garland Robinson. We're glad that you've taken the time to join us. Hope it's where you can have a pencil and paper and jot these things down that you might be able to study them further when you have the opportunity. We're going to be talking about water baptism. Water baptism is one of the most prominent doctrines of the New Testament. It's not something spoken about in a corner. It's not something made up of men. It's not something that is insignificant. It's a very prominent doctrine of the New Testament. But at the same time, it's also one of the most despised and rejected doctrines of the Bible. For centuries, men have gone to great lengths in order to circumvent or bypass what the Bible says about it. They've tried to explain it away, try to dismiss it, try to contradict it, try to reject it because they can't stand it. They think they see things in the Bible that would prohibit one from believing what the Bible actually says about baptism. But friend, we need to learn what the Bible teaches about it. For a moment, put away everything you've ever known or learned and use only the Bible. Don't take my word for it, not just because I say it, but if you'll honestly take a look at what the Bible teaches about water baptism, surely you'll be able to appreciate the significance that it holds in God's scheme of redemption. For one, men need to understand the mode of baptism. There's been a great deal of confusion here. Again, there shouldn't be, but when men get their think-so involved, when they get their opinions interjected, then you're going to find some problem. There are many who substitute sprinkling or pouring in place of baptism. Now, I know people would think, oh, it can be done anyway. You can sprinkle, you can pour, or you can immerse. It doesn't make any difference. You can have your choice. Matter of fact, they claim that any of these are acceptable, and they'll often give people a choice. Well, which would you like? What would you prefer? But yet, we find nothing like that in the New Testament. We don't find any place where people were given a choice to sprinkle or pour or to immerse. As a matter of fact, there's more than 1,000 years that separates what the apostles taught and practiced in the New Testament and the acceptance of sprinkling and pouring by so many denominations today. That is, it was never heard of, never practiced for more than 1,000 years after the first century church. Therefore, it didn't come from God. It came from the mind of man. And since it did, it's a plant that men have planted. And we read about it in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Since it's a doctrine of man, not one that you read about in the Scriptures, then it will not endure. It will be cast aside by God Almighty. The mode, the manner, or method of baptism is clearly explained in the Scriptures. It's done both by the definition of the word itself and then by the practice or the examples of those that we read about who were baptized. The word baptism or baptize is defined in Greek lexicons. It's simply a Greek dictionary. It means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge, to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself, bathe, to overwhelm. Baptism consisting of the processes of immersion, submersion, and emergence means to dip. It was used among the Greeks to signify the dyeing of a garment or the drawing of water by dipping a vessel into another. Now, can you dye a garment by just simply sprinkling something on it or pouring something on it? To dye a garment needs to be immersed into that dye in order that it may saturate the whole thing. Therefore, sprinkling and pouring are not baptism. It's immersion. So when we talk about baptism, when the Bible talks about baptism, it's not talking about sprinkling. It can't. The word doesn't mean that. It's not talking about pouring. The word doesn't mean that. It is talking of immersion. Those who have been sprinkled have never been baptized. Those who have been poured have never been baptized. But then think about it this way. Even if you ignore the definition of the word, then you've still got something else to consider. Well, what is that? The evidence in the New Testament, the practice of what was done in the New Testament, and that tells us what it involves. And you find that when you read of every example, every practice, instance of baptism in the New Testament, you find that it is immersion. We read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, where Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. That means he went down into the water, was baptized, and came up out of the water. It's a wonder then, when I've seen these so-called movies of Bible days showing that Jesus was baptized, they show him in about water no more than knee-deep, and John getting a handful and putting it over his head. What mockery can you make more of what the Bible says? He went down into the water and came up out of the water. In Mark 1 and verse 5, we read, "There went out unto John all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river of Jordan." In John chapter 3 and verse 23, "And John also was baptizing in Anan near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized." In Acts chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and when they were come up out of the water." So we learn here there's a going down into the water to be baptized, and after one's been baptized, there's a coming up out of the water. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4, we read, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Notice what is very clear in these two verses of Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Baptism is a burial. We are buried with him by baptism. Now, that's not true in sprinkling. That's not true in pouring. But it is true in immersion. Then it says, "We've been planted together." Well, that's not true of sprinkling. It's not true of pouring. But it is true of immersing. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, we read, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead." Again, what's the mode of baptism? It is a burial in water. Notice a logical procession of the Scripture on this very point. For one, we learn that baptism in the New Testament requires water. There are verses that simply mention that and no more, just mention water. It could not then be a cloud, could not be ketchup or any other kind of liquid. It has to be water. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 47, we read where Peter said concerning those at the household of Cornelius, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized?" So baptism involves water. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, we read when Philip was teaching the man from Ethiopia, "When the man came to a certain water, the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" So we learn that water is involved in baptism. Then we learn that it involves not only water, it involves much water. The baptism of the New Testament requires much water. In John chapter 3 and verse 23, "And John also was baptizing in Anan near to Salem because," now listen to this, "because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized." Well, it doesn't take much water to sprinkle, doesn't take much water to pour, but it does to baptize. And then we read that baptism in the New Testament requires a going into the water. Acts chapter 8 and verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You don't have to go down into the water to be sprinkled. You don't have to go down into the water to be poured or have water poured upon you, but you do to be immersed. Then we find that baptism of the New Testament requires a burial in water. We've already read Romans 6 in verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There is a burial in water. Colossians 2 and verse 12 says, buried with him by baptism. Now, you don't have to be buried. Matter of fact, you can't be buried by having water sprinkled on you, a drop or two on your forehead or on your head, or even having a pitcher of water, a bucket of water poured on you. That's not a burial. But yet the Bible says baptism is a burial. We also find that baptism is a coming up out of the water. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 39 again, when we read about Philip and the eunuch going down into the water, verse 39 says they came up out of the water. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Well, in sprinkling, you don't come up out of the water. In pouring, you don't come up out of the water. But you do when you're baptized, when you're immersed. Then we find that baptism is a birth. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus told Nicodemus, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There is a birth involved here, born of water and of the Spirit. So, friend, baptism is a likeness or form of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When the Lord died on the cross, it is as if when we are baptized, we die to sin. We are buried in water. He was buried in the tomb. We are raised up out of the water. He was raised up out of the tomb in his resurrection on the first day of the week. There's no burial and resurrection in the practice of sprinkling or of pouring, but there is a burial and resurrection when we're immersed, when we are baptized. Can a person actually be sprinkled? Think about it. How would you go about sprinkling a person? Well, you can't sprinkle someone unless perhaps they're first cremated and his ashes then sprinkled. You don't sprinkle a person. You might sprinkle something on a person, but the person themselves cannot be sprinkled. Can a person be poured? Well, you can't pour a person, not unless he's first liquefied and then you pour that person. But a person can be immersed. An individual can be submerged underwater in the action of baptizo, baptism. That's not true of sprinkling. It's not true of pouring, because neither of those modes were ever commanded. You'll find no example about them. You'll find nothing implied. They were never practiced until hundreds of years after the first century. They were clearly added by man, and being from man, they'll perish along with all the doctrines of men, because they're not according to the truth. Friend, have you been baptized? Have you been sprinkled or poured? If you've been sprinkled or poured, you've never been baptized. Sprinkling and pouring is not baptism. Without baptism, there's no salvation. For Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.